Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 89 in this series entitled Balancing Your Emotions, Sadness and Joy in the Same Heart. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, on the 25th of Shvat, 5760.
At the conclusion of chapter 34, the Alter Rebbe concludes and culminates the theme which he began in chapter 26. The nine prakim, Perek Chavav through Lamed Dalet, chapters 26 through 34, in fact constitute one unit. And the basic theme that pervades and permeates all of these chapters is how to achieve and attain joy, happiness, and serenity in life. So in chapter 34, at its conclusion, he finalizes and he culminates that theme. Therefore, it is appropriate at the moment to give a synopsis and summarize the basic thread and content that characterized the idea of these nine chapters. In the beginning of Perek Chavav, the Alter Rebbe established his foundational, fundamental idea that a life of joy and happiness is crucial to one's service of Hashem and one's connection with his or her own soul. After everything said in the first 25 chapters of Tanya, he said, if the person is not happy, is not joyous, is not excited in life, he will lose the battle. And he gives, interestingly, an example of martial arts, that when two people are wrestling, the victory is reserved not for the one that is stronger. That is a factor, but it's not the primary factor. The victory is reserved for that person who is more swift, chilled, agile, excited, happy. I may be much more powerful and stronger than you. But if I'm taken over by sluggishness, by heaviness, by melancholy, sadness, and so forth, I will lose the battle. So even after all of the information in the first 25 chapters, you might be well aware that your divine soul has the energy and the capacity to triumph in life. The Alter Rebbe has guided and demonstrated us step by step how we indeed can live a truly meaningful, spiritual, transcendental, and godly lives, discussing, as you remember, all of various trials and tribulations, ups and downs, challenges and struggles, meditations and so forth to deal with that. Says the Alter Rebbe, true, your soul might have the power, and your personality might have the strength, but if you're unhappy, if you're heavy, if you're not swift, if you're not zariz and so forth, the yetzer hara, the animalistic, egotistical inclination, will win. It might be weaker inherently, but the lack of joy and openness and serenity and chilledness places you in the position of the loser. I mentioned that every single chapter in Tanya, when it was originally published, created a commotion and a revolution. Today, it's 200 years after the world, the Jewish world and the world at large to a significant degree, has been saturated with chassidus, so we take these things for granted. But if you look back and you examine the ideas carefully, you'll see that every chapter in Tanya, essentially, when it was revealed to the world at that time, created a major stir in people's souls. And this theme of chapter 26 is a very vivid example. Today it's not perceived that way, but 200 years ago, it was perceived that to be really spiritual, you have to be a little depressed. That the real godliness comes coupled with being spiritually hunchback. You had to be isolated, secluded, depressed, overtaken by a sense of melancholiness, by bitterness, by a certain negative attitude. If not, what made you spiritual? What made you godly? What made you transcendental? A real Jew, real piety, real Torah, real religiosity and ruchnius came naturally together with some type of sense of depression. In Yiddish, the word is verquetschtkeit. Comes the Alter Rebbe in Tanya 26 and he says, no. If you're really connected with spirituality, if you're really connected with the energy of the soul, joy, happiness, serenity, clarity, swiftness, that is the way. So this brings the good story of the Gemara in Tainas Daf Chav Beis. The Gemara says that our Reb Reka was told by Eliyahu HaNavi that two certain individuals, simpletons, are Bnei Elam Haba. They indeed are individuals who have a major lot in the world to come. So Reb Reka approached them and he asked them, what is their profession? So the Gemara says, they responded to him, Inchi B'duchi Anan Mevadechina Natsivi, which means we are comedians who are cheer up people in depression. So Chassidus says they were Bnei Elam Haba because Elam Haba is an oasis of holiness, and real holiness is connected with joy, not with sadness. Oiz v'chedva b'mkaymai, as the Alter Rebbe said in chapter 31, in his space, in divinity, there is joy and gladness. And this is also an evident fact. You see, naturally, when a person has a problem that can easily create stress, confusion, and so forth, sometimes our responses are very healthy and constructive, and sometimes very unhealthy and destructive. Whether it is as simple as the fact that you're driving on the highway or on the road and someone cuts you off and you're in a rush, what your response is. Sometimes we respond in a very unhealthy way. That act of that person eats us up and we're compelled to think or to articulate all types of words about this human being. And for the next hour, he manages to make our life miserable. That's one approach. And sometimes you approach it in a much more calm and serene and constructive way. Or if it's something which is even more common, if your baby opens up your refrigerator and takes out the orange juice and fills up his cup or her cup and the whole orange juice ends up on the floor, and you or your wife can also respond to it in two ways. One way is you give the child a towel and you say, okay, now please clean it up, which is the constructive way of doing something. You weren't critical of the human being. You taught the child that he should or she has to take responsibility for their actions. It's actually educational. Or when you see that, you become outraged and you begin shouting, how many times did I tell you not to do this? Sometimes a parent can say, I'm going to kill you next time, and so forth. Why do we sometimes respond this way and sometimes we respond this way? It has never to do with what happened. It doesn't have to do with the guy who cut you off. It has to do with what type of feeling pervades your consciousness. If we have a menuchas hanefesh, if I am happy inside, then I can respond to things in a healthy way. If not, not. Zagdal Terebbe. If you're sad, your soul can't live. It cannot express itself. You might have all the energy and capacity in the world, but when there is a challenge, there is a struggle, the sadness obstructs our inner vision, our inner powers, our inner capabilities of being expressed. The Alter Rebbe asked the question, the Pasuk tells us in Mishlei, Yudalad, Bechol Etzev Yiyeh Moiser, which means, according to some interpretations, every sadness, every melancholy produces a prophet, which would indicate a contrary perspective. So the Alter Rebbe says, true, b'chol etzev yiyeh moiser, but the only prophet of sadness and melancholy is sometimes, is the fact that at times, this is the only method through which a person can come to experience joy. In the words of Tehillim that he quotes, Tehillim Nun Aleph, Lev Nishbar V'Nitka, the broken heart is sometimes the only prerequisite which can bring us to the situation, the condition of Tashmieni Sasein V'Simcha, to be able to experience sometimes real joy, which is the purpose, which is the goal, which is the real way to go. There must be the preface of Lev Nishbar V'Nitka. And the reason for that, he explained in brief terms, that sometimes we are not really capable of feeling joy. We are not really capable of feeling true feelings. Sometimes a person is locked up in his own comfort zone. He has already developed, and who is not aware of this? We have all developed mechanisms through which we interact with people, through which we relate to the world, and therefore this is a mechitza shel barzel. It's an iron curtain that doesn't allow us to really feel anything, to really experience anything. Everything has its road, its process. We change from one mask into another mask, into a third mask, into a fourth mask. Depends on the people we meet, depends on the situations we encounter. And the world is one big stage, and we act and we do our part. You cannot have a real feeling of simcha when the person is broken, when the person is devastated. Suddenly he loses his comfort zone. He loses balance. He can't fall back on the regular masks because his whole system has been devastated. The Alter Rebbe says, this allows you to become sensitive to the rhythm of life. It allows you to listen to others. It allows you to listen to yourself. It allows you to experience life, to experience your own soul. Real essence comes out. Real energy. This is a tragic fact of life, but it's a fact. Realness, truth, real energy, soul. You see much more by people who have been through real pain than by people who have, thank God, had only positive fortune in their life. Because the more positive fortune we have, the more security it grants our comfort zone. And the more detached we become from our own real emotions and certainly from other people's real emotions. This is a mechitza shel barzel. true energy, real godliness, your real soul cannot be experienced. And therefore, sometimes, b'chol etzev yemoyser, when the person's comfort zone and system and structure that he skillfully built up over the course of 20, 30 years, he wakes up one day and it's broken, it's devastated for whatever reason, this inner self can emerge. The person can begin loving, can begin celebrating, can begin dancing. Therefore, in Kotzk, they used to say, the Kotzker Rebbe used to say in Yiddish, which means there is nothing straighter than a crooked ladder. There is nothing more crooked than a Gleichwertel, which is maybe the straight face of a con artist. There is nothing more crooked than that. There is nothing blacker than Tachrichim, the white garments in which we dress a corpse. And finally, there's nothing more complete than a broken heart. The brokenness allows the soul to emerge.
What would be an example of that someone unfortunately goes through? What would, like, someone goes through something unfortunately very bad, and then what would be an example of that? An example of how they get out of that and they end up living life to its fullest?
They could use a well, the broken heart, it seems.
Example of what, like, let's say a scenario.
You're asking such a scenario. We discussed it then more at length in chapter 26. But if you enter, if you communicate with people who have had serious crises in their life as a result of abuse, whether parental abuse or other types of abuse, physical, mental, psychological, emotional, and then they attempt to heal, and they're in the process of recovery. There are groups that are in the process of recovery and so forth. And you enter such environments, you'll witness this. Whether it's 12-step groups in contemporary era or the like. I think those are some of the most honest places in the universe. Because there are no masks. People can't afford to have masks anymore. Their masks have broken them. And the real inner dignity comes out. And it's the paradox that it's the pain, it's the devastation of the process, it's the loss of self that allowed a deeper self to emerge. And anyone who's in the process of recovery knows this. And when you're in the presence of such a person, we are very deeply humbled. Because it's very, very real. And we all have our own pains, and it's a struggle to go and deal with it. But when you do go and deal with it, you can become broken. A wise man once said, life breaks all people. But some people know how to live in broken places better than others. So this is how the Alter Rebbe sees the profit that can sometimes come as a result of a lev Nishbar Venitka. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Perek Lamed Aleph, pasuk Yud Beis. The prophet describes the future messianic era and says, "Oz tismach psula b'machel," which means the Median shall rejoice with dance, rikut shal simcha, as the Metzudah says. Ubachurim uskeinim yachtov, young men and old men will rejoice together. Vahafachti evlam lesosoin, v'nechamtim v'simachtim miyigoinam. I will transform their mourning into joy, and I shall comfort them and gladden them from their grief. In Chassidus Chabad, this pasuk is explained that the ultimate destiny of the transformation of sorrow, of grief, into joy, la'asid la'viva, Mashiach comes, is described in the words as tismach psula b'macha. The Median rejoices with dance. One of the most powerful metaphors of the Baal Shem Tov was a metaphor to discuss this, to explain this, was a metaphor known as Schwindeltrepp. You know what Schwindeltrepp are? In Yiddish, there's a word Schwindeltrepp. It means deceiving steps. What is that? What do you think that is? A spiral staircase is called in Yiddish Schwindeltrepp. Why? Why is it deceiving? It's deceiving because the higher you go and the closer you come to your destination, the more you perceive yourself as being removed from your destination. Because, as the Baal Shem Tov put it, if you have a pillar and the spiral staircase are the staircases that surround the pillar and take you higher and higher. And he says you have an image, a beautiful piece of art that you want to approach from close. And on the bottom, before you entered up, before you began, on the first step, you see it very clearly. When you go to the next step, you make a 180 degree turn, and you can't see it anymore. The third step, you can see it, and so forth. When you finally approach it, almost approach it, before you reach the top, you have to take a turn of 180 degrees where your view is totally obstructed because it is the other side of the pillar, and you cannot see it although your mom is there. And then finally, you turn around and you're there. And the Baal Shem Tov said that the journey of life is the journey of Schwindeltrepp, where sometimes the deepest pain, the deepest concealment, the feeling that I'm totally remote from my goal is the greatest demonstration and indication that you are right there. Life is not like a straight staircase, where the closer you become, the more you see the end. On the contrary, it's like a spiral staircase. When I'm really far, the destination is very clear and apparent. But when we really get involved, by necessity, in our life, it is the concealment, it's the sense of loss, it's the sense of pain, where I lose control. The lev nishber v'nitka, I lose control. Right now, real things can come out. If it would have been expected, if you would have been able to appreciate it and perceived it, you wouldn't reach your destination. You're still locked up in your own vision. It's when you lose your vision, you jump over the cliff, and it's only then you turn around and you don't see anything, and right now you approach the top. The Tzemach Tzedek has a maimer in Eirat Torah, Nach, on this pasuk. And he says, you know, in the Beis HaMikdash they had such steps. Some people aren't familiar. In Malachim Aleph and Perek Vav, the pasuk describes Shlomo HaMelech building the first Beis HaMikdash. And there's a term there, a very interesting term that's used. The commentators argue about the meaning of that term. The pasuk goes, Pesach hatzela hatichayna al kasef habayis hayamanis, uvlulim yalu al hatichayna, umin hatichayna el hashalishim. Which means the entrance to the central ground level side chamber in the Beis HaMikdash was at the south side of the Beis HaMikdash. Kesef Habayis Hayemonis. And they would ascend on Vlulim to the middle story, and from the middle story, El Ashlishim to the third story. What is Vlulim? Zakt Rashi, Beloshen Ashkenaz. In Germany, it's Schwindelstein, a deceiving stone. Veshem Hamurgel, Zakt Rashi, Schwindelsteig. You steig through deception. And he explains, it's a structure of a pillar, osui mylos mylos, which has remained with spiral steps surrounding it, and it's not like a ladder which is crooked, Nishtaz Agleich Zach Viakrumer Reitel, and it's difficult to climb upon Ki Hekefei Hushipuri. In this case, the spiral element of it, that is what allows you to go higher and higher. Zakht said this, because the way to go up to the Beis HaMikdash, the way to go up to holiness, is only through a spiral staircase. Real holiness, real serenity, real spirituality necessitates a process where sometimes you come very close and that's when you feel you are remote. And the reason you feel you're remote is because you're closer. And the closer you are, the more remote you are. In your own perception. And it's hard to philosophize about it, because if you prepare for the remoteness, it's not remoteness. If you prepare for the moment, you're sad. If I prepare now, I'm going to become broken. It's not devastation. It's when we're caught off. It's when sometimes we're caught by surprise, and that allows us to emerge. In Kiddush Levana, we say, we tell the moon. Just as I am dancing against you in your presence, but I cannot touch you, the same, my enemies shouldn't be able to touch me. Now the connection seems enigmatic. Just as I'm dancing in front of you, I'm jumping, but I cannot touch you, the same, my enemies shouldn't be able to touch me. What's the connection? Oz tismach psula b'machil. There is a rikud and there is a machil. There is a dance and there is a dance. What's the difference? A rikud is a two people dance where you become close, and the moment you become close, you separate. You create a distance. When you go to your next wedding, you'll see a real rikud, real professional dancers. You're dancing with someone, you come close, and the moment you approach them, now you go in a distance. And the real professional dancers, right when you come close, you turn around, you can't see the other person. This is a physical embodiment of the nature of the cosmic dance. The cosmic dance is that face-to-face requires a moment of back-to-back. The Tzemach Tzadik writes that the Baal Shem Tov used this metaphor of Schwindeltrepp to explain one of the most profound doctrines of the Kabbalah. In Kabbalistic terms, it's known that Zoh and Malchus, masculine energy and feminine energy, the sun and the moon, have to stand face-to-face. That's the real nature of intimacy, face-to-face. But in order that their face-to-face should be able to be powerful, they first must experience a position of achir ba'achir, back-to-back. So Adam and Chava were created initially, back-to-back, and then he can separate them, and then they can connect face-to-face. Why couldn't he, l'chatchila, initially create them as two separate entities so they can communicate face-to-face? Because if not, it will not be Schwindeltrepp. If there's a moment where you are not blinded, if you can always see your destiny, you will not be able to really appreciate face-to-face. And even if you do experience one level of face-to-face, to appreciate a deeper level of face-to-face, you have to become remote again, and your destination has to be concealed. So the higher you go in the ladder, in the spiral staircase, so on the second step you can see it, and that allows you on the third step to see it even closer. On the fourth step, again your vision is blinded from you, your destination is blinded from you, and that allows you in the next stage to see it even closer. And so it goes. The more we want the layers to be peeled off and to connect to a real spiritual self, the more lev nishbar there has to be. And that's the real challenge of every person who works on himself and grows. The challenge continues on one level to another level to another level. That's the definition of rikut. And you know why there has to be that position? Because eini yachil in gayabach. Because I cannot touch you. I cannot touch you, the essence of Hashem. And as long as I cannot touch you, the essence of Hashem, we need this tension of dancing in our life. The tension of closeness and remoteness, of face to face and back to back. And therefore I say that in times of dissent, in times of concealment, la yuchlu kal ayvai lingaya bilara, because that is a very difficult time. The time of brokenness is a very difficult time. It's easy to fall into despair. So kishem shani reikid kenegdech, since our life entails a process of dancing, of climbing a spiral ladder, where there are times when our joy and inner serenity emerges, and there are times when we are lost of what our life is all about, times of real loneliness. Why? Because eini yachil in goya bach, when you be able to touch the essence of Hashem, you don't need that paradox of loneliness, of fall in order to grow, of feel despair in order to experience a deeper level of self. But in this process of existence, where we are remote from truth, this tension is necessary to experience truth. So in this time we ask, Kach la yuchlu kalei velen goya bilara. But when Mashiach comes, us tismach psula b'machil. What is a machil? A machil is people going around in a circle. They don't turn their back to back. Because when Mashiach comes, the essence of Hashem will be revealed. There will not be any need for this tension in order to grow spiritually. This tension is a product of the frailty of humanity and of the cosmos and so forth. And the same as this is true in the world in exile and redemption, it's also true in our personal exile and redemption. There is a rikud and there is a machil. And thus the Alter Rebbe says that the fact that sometimes there is a prophet in Etzev is just to bring us to a deeper level of simcha. Sometimes that is the only introduction to real joy. But now, after saying this, the real issue, or the next issue that comes to mind, is that there are various levels of sadness or elements of sadness that apparently bog down our lives and don't allow us to experience real joy and happiness in our life. And here, in these chapters, the Alter Rebbe articulates, I believe, 7 causes for sadness and how we are to approach them. Source A for sadness is real pain. Things we don't have even control over many times. When someone loses a loved one, when someone has an issue with health, with children, with survival, family issues, and certain issues of pain that occur into a person's life, but we can't do anything about it. That is the first and most fundamental obstacle to joy. Yes, it makes us depressed. It causes us sadness. How can you really be happy in the presence of real pain that takes over your life? A. Cause number 2. Negative things that we have done through which we have damaged ourselves or even others. We all make bad choices in our lives. We all violate, often or seldom, the blueprint, the healthy Torah blueprint of life, and that can cause us sadness. Negative, damaging choices we have made in our life. 3, sadness that doesn't come from a result of bad deeds, transgressions, abusive behavior, and so forth, but as a result of our own self-perception. Not as a result of sin, but as a result of our temptation for sin. We come to realize that we are incomplete, that we always have challenges, that we can never liberate ourselves from so many black, gloomy, and ugly things in our life. Even after we work and we work and we feel we have liberated ourselves from something, there are always some unhealthy, negative cravings that exist within us. So this is a grief that's not caused by realities of evil and negativity in our life, but by the never-ending struggle and battle against the deep embedded evil within us. The awareness of our inherent incompleteness and deficiencies, the sense of our innate wounds, and the inner turmoil and strife that characterizes most human beings, that can plunge a person into despair and depression. Number four. This sadness can paralyze our materialistic schedule when we are at work, at our profession, our business, other times of the day, or it can paralyze our spiritual schedule, our praying, our learning, our meditation, and so on and so forth. So this is another element where the above-mentioned sadness and the one before can be experienced at one time or at another time. Five, a sadness that doesn't come from pain, nor from burden, nor from worry, whether it's physical pain, psychological pain, abuse, and so on and so forth. It's rather a sadness that comes from the fact that our heart sometimes becomes numb, cold, dead, and apathetic. We just don't care. Our heart goes into a bubble that isolates it, blocks it off. It's called timtum halev, a numb heart. We become detached from reality, from other people, from our own soul, and so on and so forth. So the result is similar to sadness in the sense that we can't feel ourselves, which is what sadness does to us. But unlike sadness discussed earlier, this is not coming from concerns. It's coming rather from a certain other cause, which we will soon see, which just makes us detached, smug, complacent. We were just careless. Things don't get to us anymore. Nothing is exciting, inspiring, stimulating, or motivating. Number six. Sadness that the Alter Rebbe identifies as a sadness that comes b'li shum siba, without any reason. You become sad and then it can leave. It doesn't come from timtum halev. You don't stop feeling. It's not a process of apathy, of detachment. You just feel sad. Not because of a certain immediate conscious pain. Possibly there are deep subconscious elements, obviously, at work. But you just feel sad. It's not making you less responsible or miserable or bitter and so forth. You're just sad. You get into a sad mood. The Alter Rebbe has a maimer in the Maimonides Admor HaZaken HaKetzarim, and he says, obviously there's something happening. There's something vibrating, not in your conscious self, but in your subconscious self. And he says that those are the times when Lamaila, they're judging you. In the supernal worlds, you're being judged. And since you're being examined, it affects you in this way. So there's no conscious cause for it in your conscious self. Finally, number seven, a sadness which some of us might don't even perceive as a problem, but in Chassidus it's a problem, and that is a sadness where you just get tired of life. Just the daily schedules of life and burdens get to us. And some of us don't even perceive it as a challenge because it doesn't really rob us away from our capacities. But in Chassidus, that is it's not a good condition because life must be fun. It has to be exciting. It has to be challenging. You have to remain sensitive. But this person is exhausted. And this includes the seventh level, a deeper level of sadness, which is known as existential loneliness. There is not necessarily a certain pain you encounter in your life, but there are some people, usually sensitive people, that just life itself makes them feel lonely. Now, very often that comes from pain, and we explain it through certain philosophical questions. Sometimes people have certain emotional challenges, and they, of course, it becomes a philosophy. But we're not even talking about that. We're talking just an essential loneliness that characterizes the persons in the presence of the awesome world that we live in, and the enigma of life and the mystery of life that we can never really get. Now, these seven elements I just mentioned, I think, conclude more or less the whole spectrum of depression, of the causes of depression and melancholy in the person's life. And I believe that if someone studies well these nine chapters of Tanya, he comes out with a very all-encompassing, all-pervading world perspective on this very complicated sugya, on this very complicated theme in human life. And with a real path to achieve real serenity and joy in a person's life. The first thing and most immediate and difficult issue that Alter Rebbe addresses in chapter 26 is pain. Pain of bana chayim mezayin, a real pain in the world that we have no control over. Issues of life and death, heaven forbid. Issues of illness, issues of lack of livelihood, and so on and so forth. And the first thing we see in the Alter Rebbe's approaches, the way to come to terms with it, and to really be a happy person notwithstanding these occurrences and these challenges that life presents to each individual in his or her own way, the first thing, he doesn't give explanations. It's not by rationalizing and by finding explanations to the tragedy or to the loss through which the person finds pain, finds joy and serenity. In Chassidus, it says that the first thing that Moshe encountered, the first thing he encountered in his relationship with Hashem was when he was standing there shepherding the flock of Yisrael. And he observed the sneh, the thorny bush, on fire and not being consumed. And Moshe could not understand. If the trunk of the tree is on fire, why is it not being consumed? And he says, Asurinov Eres Amara Godla Zemadua Layivra Sneh, let me approach this extraordinary, astonishing scene. Why is it not being consumed? And Hashem told him, Shal na alecha mayal raglecha. Remove your shoes from your legs. Ke amakim asherata oimed alav admas kaidashu. Because the soil, the space on which you are standing, is sacred space. And Chassidus says, Moshe, the first thing he approached was the sneh, a bush of thorns, symbolic of pain, of thorny pain that stings us and bathers us, and the pain threatens to consume the person, and nevertheless the person is not being consumed, and Moshe comes over and he wants to understand the paradox. The paradox of a good God who creates real tragedy in this world and nevertheless demands from us and gives us the strength to survive and to thrive. Similar to what was going on to the Jewish people, that they're being burnt and eaten up and slaughtered barbarically, men, women, and children, as happened in Egypt at the time, and nevertheless they're not being consumed. And Moshe wants to understand the essence of it, and Hashem says, the first thing, Shal na lecha me'al raglecha. Remove your shoes from your feet, your legs. This is holy space. And it's here that Alter Rebbe takes us when he deals with this thing.